Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Superbloom: How Technologies of Connection Tear Us Apart is a nonfiction book by Nicholas Carr that examines the social, psychological, and civic effects of modern communication technologies. Building on concerns he developed in The Shallows, Carr argues that the systems most often praised for expanding connection, efficiency, and participation can also reduce understanding, intensify conflict, and weaken attention. The book ranges from social media and messaging apps to algorithmic feeds and artificial intelligence, using them to question a common assumption of the digital age that more communication automatically produces stronger community. Carr frames this condition as a superbloom, a burst of abundance that looks vibrant on the surface but may conceal fragility underneath. The result is a critical study of how mediated connection reshapes human behavior, public discourse, and the sense of self. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why more connection can produce less understanding. Carr's central argument is that technologies built to connect people do not necessarily create real connection. Instead, they often increase the volume, speed, and visibility of communication without improving its quality. Messaging apps compress conversation, social feeds flatten context, and constant online exposure encourages rapid reactions rather than careful interpretation. This matters because communication is not just about transmitting information. It also requires tone, timing, silence, and the ability to read another person's full situation. When those features are stripped away, interaction becomes more brittle and more likely to generate misunderstanding. Carr uses this logic to challenge the assumption that digital abundance is inherently socially beneficial. The problem is not merely distraction, but a deeper mismatch between human capacities and the scale of modern mediated contact. In his view, excessive connection can become a form of overload that weakens trust rather than building it. Secondly, digital crowding and the erosion of empathy. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is digital crowding, the sense that social media forces people into relentless virtual proximity. Carr compares this to physical crowding, where too much unwanted contact can produce stress, irritability, and defensive behavior. Online platforms replicate that pressure at a much larger scale. Strangers, acquaintances, and public audiences collapse into a single environment, and every post becomes exposed to judgment, performance, and comparison. Under these conditions, people are less able to give one another space, ambiguity, or charity. Carr argues that this can erode empathy, because the mind is continually pushed toward vigilance and reaction. Instead of encouraging thoughtful social awareness, the digital environment can heighten suspicion and aggression. This analysis is important because it shifts the discussion away from technology as a neutral tool and toward the emotional architecture of the platforms themselves. The issue is not only what people say online, but what the setting does to their capacity for patience and generosity. Thirdly, how algorithms and feeds reshape public thought. Carr also examines how algorithmic personalization changes the way people perceive politics and public life. Rather than presenting a broad picture of the world, feeds tend to prioritize material that provokes attention, emotion, and engagement. That means users often encounter a narrowed reality tailored to prior behavior and commercial incentives, not a balanced account of what matters. Carr argues that this can distort judgment by rewarding outrage, certainty, and tribal identification. Online debate then becomes less about deliberation and more about reinforcement, with each side receiving a version of reality that confirms its own assumptions. This is a significant part of the book because it shows how communication technologies shape not just individual mood, but collective reasoning. Carr is less interested in isolated cases of online conflict than in the structural tendency of platforms to sort, intensify, and simplify experience. The result is a public sphere that feels more crowded with information but less capable of shared understanding. Fourthly, artificial intelligence and the blurring of reality. In its later sections, the book extends Carr's critique to artificial intelligence and the growing uncertainty around human and machine-generated content. He suggests that AI intensifies the same problems already present in earlier digital media: abundance without depth, speed without reflection, and output without stable meaning. As synthetic text, images, and conversational systems become more common, the boundary between authentic expression and automated fabrication becomes harder to maintain. Carr treats this as more than a technical issue. If people can no longer easily distinguish human intention from machine production, trust in communication itself begins to weaken. That concern fits the broader argument of the book, because once the environment is saturated with convincing but shallow content, the burden shifts to the user to sort truth from simulation. Carr's point is not that AI is merely bad, but that it amplifies long-running tendencies in digital culture toward confusion, overproduction, and detachment from lived reality. Lastly, a personal and civic case for limits. Although Carr is sharply critical of digital culture, he does not offer a simple policy program or a fantasy of complete technological escape. His more realistic claim is that people must recover agency in their own lives, even if the broader system is unlikely to change quickly. The practical lesson is that identity, attention, and judgment cannot be outsourced to platforms. If people do not define themselves offline, they risk being shaped by the performances and pressures of online life. This gives the book a moral and civic dimension. Personal habits matter, because they affect how individuals participate in community, conversation, and democracy. Carr's argument stands out because it does not rely on technical jargon or alarmist futurism. Instead, it connects media design to ordinary human weaknesses, such as vanity, impulsiveness, and the desire for belonging. The book ultimately argues for limits, not withdrawal for its own sake, but a deliberate effort to protect depth, context, and embodied social life. In conclusion, Superbloom is best suited for readers interested in technology criticism, media studies, psychology, and contemporary social life. It will also appeal to anyone who feels that modern communication has become faster, louder, and somehow less satisfying. The book offers a clear benefit for readers trying to think more carefully about phones, social platforms, AI, and the habits these systems encourage. It is intellectually valuable because it does more than complain about distraction. It connects design choices to broader effects on empathy, politics, and selfhood. That makes it different from many books about digital culture that focus narrowly on productivity, screen time, or platform regulation. Carr is writing a wider diagnosis of how connection itself has been industrialized. Compared with more solution-driven books, Superbloom is less interested in quick fixes than in clarifying the underlying problem. Its distinctive strength is that it joins historical perspective, psychological insight, and cultural critique into a single argument about the costs of unlimited mediation. For readers seeking a serious account of why abundant communication can leave society more fragmented, it is a strong and timely choice. If you would like to support Nicholas Carr, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.